The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
The voice of the people. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Christmas Eve edition of the Peter Boyle Show. December 24th, 2019. Man, it is unbelievable. We're wrapping up the year. We have an impeached president. We have no white Christmas in sight. And who in the world can possibly predict what's happening in 2020? I'm looking forward to those end of the year, first of the year shows that try and make the predictions, because if you looked back on this year, you could have never, ever thought we'd be where we are right now on a host of issues, some of which we'll talk about later on. I'm Randy Corpin in for Peter Boyles. Peter is back on Monday. And I guess before we jump in, maybe we better do some top of the hour news. Jeff Hildebrand is here. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Nice to see you.
Likewise. It's been a while.
Hope you're ready for a happy Christmas.
I sometimes see you behind that distant glass off in the far corner. But
that's right.
I never know if it's safe to go in there.
They let me out just today because nobody else wanted to come to work.
Yeah, we're talking skeleton crew. And of course, Kelly Michaels is here behind the glass, giving everybody else badly needed days off. So
thank you,
Kelly. And did anything actually happen yesterday that's worthy of talking about on Christmas Eve?
Well, yes, especially for people in Denver.
All right.
Because the Denver City Council has voted to require you to pay a 10-cent fee for plastic and paper bags.
I am so excited about that.
You know, in cities with similar ordinances already in place, the bag fees range from a nickel to a quarter. Now, Mayor Hancock still needs to approve the measure for it to become law.
So it's a bargain.
Yes.
The Denver price is a bargain.
Most definitely.
Was there any inclination toward where Hancock is headed with that thing? Is he going to agree to it? Does anybody say?
I don't know. I could say he's in the bag, but I don't know if that's really relevant.
Did you do you live in Denver?
No.
Okay.
No.
If you lived in Denver, would you drive an extra 15 minutes in order to tell him to stick that plastic bag tax where the sun don't shine?
If I lived in Denver, I would be accumulating cloth bags to take with me to the store.
See, there are sanitary issues with those things. There's the cost of production of them, washing them, you know, especially if you're carrying like fruit and stuff that can share germs.
Sure.
And so it's such a scam. The recycling is not profitable. It doesn't, there's not a net gain for the environment. It's just more socialist crap.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you analyzed it for us.
Yeah, I'm trying to get fired up this morning. I wasn't until about 5 o'clock, I could guarantee you. Anything else besides the, are you just trying to depress us today? Is that the point?
That's it. I'm done. That's all the news
okay.
That's fit to print.
Very good.
Well, another thing, it does turn out that one of the people Governor Polis has pardoned is an undocumented immigrant who has taken up sanctuary in a Boulder church to avoid deportation. Ingrid Latore had been convicted of felony impersonation about 10 years ago. And Polis says since then she has paid restitution, paid back taxes, currently tries to educate others on the risks of using false documents, And while he can't do anything about her immigration status, the governor does say he hopes the conviction would no longer have an impact.
It's so kind of him. I wonder what American citizen is sitting in jail with a family, you know, children that need maybe their dad at home, and a breadwinner to come back and help contribute to taking care of the family, who's done great things behind bars, you know, educated other inmates if they had a particular skill or knew how to read well or whatever, that got passed over in exchange for this woman whose very first act in coming into our country was violating our laws. Can you give me a little background on that, Jeff? I know you've been doing some deep dives here.
No.
Another story I planned to talk about, this was yesterday, I just touched on it, but we ran out of time, was a Democrat lawmaker who wants to... The lawmakers, I think, get five bills each a year. And this one wants to use, a Democrat, of course, wants to use one of hers to remove the term illegal alien from Colorado statutes.
Oh, yes.
It's very, very important.
Right.
Because no human being is illegal.
Yes.
That's their logic.
That, yes.
It's the world we live in.
Okay.
I'm really waiting for you to kind of pick me up here.
Just appalled. An illegal alien is an illegal alien if they come into the country illegally. Now, the term alien, I could argue that.
Well, it's a term of art. It's in the federal statute. It's been codified in our immigration laws for decades and decades and decades.
That's really what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's right. Old and outmoded.
Much like the U.S. Constitution.
And us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're on our way out. You know,
yeah, but not till 9 o'clock.
I was in here a little after 4, and there was already... We will get through this newscast, I promise. But there was already, from 3:42 a.m., a text that said, "Good morning, Randy." So I'm just wondering...
That's exciting.
What listeners are not sleeping at all?
Well, maybe they'll call.
Yeah. There's whoever this texter is sent in a great poem on taxes.
Oh, really?
So if I get really bored later, I may read this to everybody because it's good.
Well, you might as well do it now.
No. I know you're dying to get back to the world of news and information. By the way, do you leave after this or what do you have to do this morning on the Christmas Eve edition of 710 KNUS?
I have a lot of more news to do.
Okay.
This morning.
Because I won't see you in here.
And no. I'll work from the cave. And then I also have work to do on KRKS FM for the morning word over there.
When Tom Moeller's here, I set a little reminder on my phone, and every 20 minutes I go in and wake him up.
Oh, yeah.
He's into the naps, you know.
Sometimes you have to go out in the parking lot and find him in his car, wake him up there.
I think he's in San Diego right now.
He is having a wonderful but wet time.
Oh, is it raining out there?
Oh, it was raining yesterday, yeah.
Well, nobody better than Tommy, awake or not.
Awake, that's right, definitely. We certainly miss him at Christmas because I have to be here. Anyway, this report...
What is your normal shift? Middays?
No, my normal shift is at home.
Yeah, okay.
I'm usually not here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've retired?
Of course. Oh, I've been retired for a long time.
Well, but you're still drawing a check as far as I could tell.
Well, I'm not going to talk about that with Kelly in the other room.
The boss man.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a lawyer. I can help you negotiate some of those terms if.
Oh, really?
You're feeling, you know, disconcerted about anything.
They refer to me as the illegal newsman, but I guess I can't do that anymore.
Can't call you an alien.
That's right. Okay.
That news copy is huge, thick, black. Wow.
May I continue?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
I didn't know I was interrupting.
Okay, Pete. This news, what there is of it, is being sponsored by Booking.com. If you want to be more active, spend more time with family, save more, whatever your New Year's resolution is, Booking.com has an accommodation to help you achieve it.
I think a better way to have said that would have been this news, whatever it is, I'm allowed to share of it. All right, well, get through this. Go ahead.
All right, here is news. The House might pass more articles of impeachment against President Trump. A Judiciary Committee attorney is arguing in a federal court filing that Democrats still need testimony from former White House counsel Don McGahn. McGahn resigned last year. Democrats think it's possible he could reveal something impeachable beyond the Ukraine scandal.
McGahn is McGahn.
Yes. That's very punny.
The impeachment is working well for Democrats so far. I really hope they keep bringing it.
Okay.
Record-setting fundraising for the president, for the RNC, for some candidates, polling numbers that continue to climb.
Right.
American public that is not persuated, not sold, not excited, bored to tears. And a bunch of right-wingers who are exposed, the never-Trump version of the right wing, exposing themselves as absolute morons.
That's your opinion.
No, it's true. We're in the news segment.
We're telling
truth.
Oh,
here.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, President Trump celebrating Wall Street numbers, saying the stock market is setting records, noting the NASDAQ has gone up more than 72% since he was elected. And he took a jab at the opposition, adding, "What a great time for the radical left, do-nothing Democrats to impeach your favorite president."
Kading, 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 kading.
And, well, here, this is interesting, I think. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she would be honored to be a vice president. The only problem is she's only 30 years
she's
old.
She's got to age a little, yeah.
And she's not old enough to hold a job because the Constitution mandates the vice president or president be at least 35 years old.
Well, she's probably looking ahead to the second term of Bernie Sanders when he'll be starting at about 84, 85.
I'm sure she is.
It's bizarre what's going on over there in that Democrat Party.
Yes, definitely. All politics is bizarre. And, you know, the system as perceived by the Founding Fathers has just gone down the toilet. It took a while because they had to invent the toilet. But after that, you know, it's flushed.
What particularly are you referring to?
Just the way individuals and parties are able to manipulate what happens in Congress, and we really don't have any way to get around it.
Talking about like the influence of outside money and things like that, the propaganda machine 24 hours a day now?
Oh, well, yeah, that too. But you can't put all the blame on outside. It's inside that has opened the door to the influence. It's the insiders who are getting rich. It's the insiders who have sold us down the river.
Yeah, people who come to Congress for a good income, $186,000 or so approximately per year, and then walk out multimillionaires. Go figure what's going on behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you say that because especially young people, when I'm addressing different groups or whatever, comes up in conversation with family and they talk about, you know, it's just we've never seen things so extreme. People are so angry and on and on. And it's fun to remind them or educate them that in the early days following the founding of this country, that there were congressmen who would shoot each other, you know, have duels or beat each other on the floor of Congress with their cane or other sorts of things, and that Abraham Lincoln was, you know, referred to as an ape and a monkey and ugly and illiterate and uneducated. And the newspapers back then took a side. There was the, you know, the Virginia Republican and the I'm crazy Democrat.
Right.
News. But they identified themselves as being hyperpartisan, and they were vicious. What's different now is it's 24 hours a day. You can see it and hear it instantly, and it's nonstop on 250 channels and your smartphone and your laptop.
Sure.
And so it, you know, we have this heightened sense of it being so much more out of control. I think what's really changed is that back in the day, Republicans and Democrats, even though they disagreed on things, still had a basic fundamental view of what the country is and what it stands for and, you know, how important our individual rights were. And that is completely gone. We are at that tipping point now that if Donald Trump doesn't win re-election, we will be headed full force down the socialist path.
Sure. Yeah, there's a good chance of that. And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of the ire that people feel is because they realize there's absolutely nothing they can do. We're in it. You can't. The people that make the rules are the people that are profiting from the rules, and they're not going to change anything. They're not going to change and have term limits. They're not going to limit their income.
Well, I'm going to push back on that a little bit, too. And, you know, it is easy to get cynical in this day and age. And
no.
Yeah, well, just a little. But just think about it. I mean, the Tea Party's 11 years old, and the Tea Party movement to help spur this populist movement that's going on right now that elected a New York real estate developer that went to D.C. to drain the swamp and disrupt and turn everything on its head. And people all the way down the line, especially the lower income wage earners, are benefiting greatly in the first 3 years of this presidency. This president's turned over more judges, 186 judges now, including a couple of Supreme Court judges. They're in their 40s, maybe 50s. They'll be there for decades to come. Flipped some circuit courts from Democrat in majorities to Republican appointees. I think people, active, involved people, really can make a difference. The problem is that, you know, we kind of live day to day, moment to moment, and you have to stop a minute, step back, take a satellite view to really see what direction you've gone.
Sure.
But I think we're making a big difference, and it's pretty exciting. Talk radio helps. Social media helps. The great equalizer against those powers that be, the big money, the media conglomerates, and all those kinds of things. But, yeah, I think the working man is having his say under this presidency. So it ain't too late to make a difference yet.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. I've been, I've been an advocate of a new broom.
You know, sweep them all out.
Sweep them all out. Start all over. Unfortunately, the people who are elected are not the ones who are running the country. Now, I may sound cynical, but I may sound realistic. It's the parties. It's the people, the money people behind the Democrat and Republican parties who are running this country, not necessarily the elected officials. And so even if we get rid of everybody who's had a term, the power people are still there. And they'll make sure that whoever comes in toes the line.
Well, you know, once again, I look at all the power people who aligned themselves against, for instance, Donald Trump when he made his run for president, you know, for all the old guard conservatives, the Bill Kristol, who doesn't return my texts anymore, by the way. My last interview with him was on this station.
You've been texting the comedian Bill Kristol.
Yeah. So many forces aligned against this guy, and yet it was the working man who's been out of a job in the manufacturing industry for a decade or more. You know, that is the sector of our society that rose up and gave Trump just enough votes and just enough districts to win a pretty significant Electoral College presidential victory. So, right. Again, it's the people speaking. You know, I don't think I've ever had this conversation with you, but how do you react when Donald Trump gets on his Twitter binges and that sort of thing?
I am not a fan of the way he does the job. I think he's good at the job. I think he's what we needed. But I just am not a fan of anyone who is so apparently self-absorbed. I don't care who it is. If they have that sort of an attitude, I can do without them.
I find it useful the way he utilizes Twitter to agitate the media, agitate his opponents, agitate the folks even in the Republican side or the conservative side who oppose him on certain things. And because of the unfair coverage he gets from the vast majority of the media, I think it's a great tool, and he uses it very, very well. It was disturbing for me early on when he was taking out the Rubios, who I didn't want him to be president, never disliked him too much, and you know, the Jeb Bush, and they get into the conversations about the hands and everything else.
Sure.
But now I get it. I mean, this is the world that we live in, and the left has been lobbing bombs at folks on the right for a long, long time. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up and says, yeah, go ahead, you know, you take the first swing, and then I'll finish the job.
Right.
And he does.
Sure.
So
sure.
These are different times. There's no question about that. Yeah. I mean, what in the world will this next decade bring us? All right. Well, given your cynicism, I assume you're happy with the economy and a whole lot of some of the. You said President Trump does the job well. Does he get reelected?
It's not for me to say.
But do you have? Okay, fair enough. We are now 21 minutes into this show. Would you like to finish the news?
Let's see. What do I have left here? I've just got a couple more stories.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, if you don't mind, we're past the break. Kelly says it's okay. I can keep going. Let's change topics.
Go ahead.
Okay.
This was your newscast all along.
Oh, I wish I'd have known that from the beginning.
Somebody should have told me too.
Okay, air travelers might have been exposed to measles at three more airports over the past couple of weeks. Latest threats of exposure were at Chicago's O'Hare and airports in Richmond, Virginia, and Austin, Texas. Christmas Eve travel might not be too bad, as weather across the U.S. expected to be pretty tranquil. National Weather Service forecasting lingering showers along the southeast coast, some light rainfall on the west coast as well, and the Four Corners region can expect rain and mountain snow. And finally, in sports, the player known as Beast Mode coming back to Seattle. ESPN is reporting the Seahawks have agreed to sign running back Marshawn Lynch for the rest of the season. He starred for Seattle in 2010 through 2015, helped them advance to two Super Bowls, and now he's coming back to the Seahawks. That's it.
What are the Broncos' prospects for the playoffs?
They will have one more game.
It's about it.
Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
40-some yards short of 1,000 yards. Second year in a row.
Yeah.
If he gets it, and there's a good chance he will, he'll make history. He's the
undrafted.
Yeah. Okay, well, since you know all that.
Well,
I'm
sorry. I'm just trying to pull it out of you.
They'll be going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, someday.
If they have tickets.
To visit.
If they have tickets.
They'll be
sideline
seats.
That's a tough
one. So are you here? You probably won't be here tomorrow.
No.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me have the day off.
We really appreciate that, Kelly.
Since nobody else would be here.
What about the rest of the week?
I'll be back on Friday.
Okay, so Mark will be back on Thursday.
Mark will be back on Thursday.
Well, I'm here the rest of the week, so I will see you on Friday. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks for indulging me as I try and limber up a little bit here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I don't get to see you often enough.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, it is 525. Good-looking day ahead. 56 degrees, 52 tomorrow. We'll be cooling off toward the weekend. 36 in Denver, 41 in Aurora. I'm Randy Corcoran. Phone lines wide open, 303-696-1971. It's a potpourri today, so anything at all on your mind, 303-696-1971. We'll be right back on 710 KNUS.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Drifters version. Sorry, I like the oldies. That works. Thank you, Kelly. Merry Christmas on this Christmas Eve from the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran. Peter will be back here on Monday. About 26 minutes to go now until 6 o'clock. Top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Trevor Loudon. Good buddy. He's going to be in Colorado in January. And so we'll find out what that's all about, see what he's up to. He's always a fascinating interview, filmmaker, author, the foremost expert perhaps in the world on the communist influence in our very own Congress critters and others in very important places in government. The texters are crazy this morning. Great poem that came in, some good memes. I'm going to get to them in a minute, but let's get to the phones before we do anything else this morning. Paul's the first call of the day. Paul in Applewood, good morning. Welcome to the show.
How you doing this morning?
Doing great, man.
I was just looking back over the last 3 years, and the two biggest mistakes I can see President Trump making, and I was a President Trump voter, is the deficit spending. I think it's criminal when you spend more money than you actually have to do. I lived my life where I was on a budget. And I'm just wondering, how come the Supreme Court didn't say, I mean, when this started, I think back with Reagan, with one of the presidents doing this, that you can't spend money that's not been generated, that hasn't been produced. How can we consume things that haven't been produced?
What's that old adage? I forget who said it, that that the Republic will be in big trouble when people who are running for office find out that they can bribe the voters from the public trough.
Pretty horrible.
Yeah, it is. Now, pushing back from the president's side, obviously, you know, first 2 years of his presidency, he had Paul Ryan running the House. Paul Ryan, not a fan. A lot of things that could have, should have happened. Donald Trump was in the midst of defending against what eventually became this impeachment, started out with the Russia collusion hoax and all the other stuff early on into his presidency. He saw the biggest issue in the world, us losing our military stature, China continuing to develop their military, aiming to be the number one economy in the world. So I think he put his priorities on, first of all, paying our men and women of the military better and rebuilding our equipment that had been neglected for so very long. And then I think phase two of his priorities was to reestablish America as the economic driver of the world. And he's done that. You know, part of extra spending can be absorbed by all this generated economic activity in this raging economy. But, you know, I've been in a couple of policy briefings in the White House. I listen to get involved in some of these leadership calls that go on where we get to hear kind of some of the background story. And I know that this administration is very concerned about spending. But with Nancy Pelosi in charge of the House right now, with this election coming up and in the middle of impeachment, you know, you kind of got to pick your poison, don't you?
You know, I was in Jimmy Carter's Navy in 1976, and we were in a patrol squadron with 12 airplanes, and we only had 12 up, or only had 6 up, because we were cannibalizing parts from 6 other planes to keep them up in the air.
That's horrific.
So I know what it's like to have a crippled Navy. When I was a young man and Ronald Reagan got into office after I got out of the military, I was ecstatic because he brought in 135 ships. You know, I mean, he pretty much resurrected the military. But then, you know, President Bush, I think he borrowed money to start a war or something. It just seems that if the government can't, I don't know how to put this, if the government can't operate like a regular American family, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe there's a lot of debt in families, I don't know about that, but the people I know live within a budget, and I just think that that's the biggest problem right now, because, I mean, with a roaring economy and everything, that has to be a little drag on the economy.
Well, certainly, you know, when you're paying interest, that's money that's not being used productively. This government needs to shrink. This government is out of control in size. But the difference between, you know, you and me and the federal government is they get to print their own money, so they can sustain that debt for a long, long time. But one of the common themes I get as a Tea Party leader is, you know, what happened to you guys? Taxed enough already? You used to be for fiscal sanity, fiscal responsibility. We never hear any of that anymore. And while that's true, these are things we talk about all the time. But in this particular time, when the choice ahead in November is socialism or continuing this raging economy, the strengthening of America, the putting American interests first to the benefit of us and the world, you know, you have to pick your priorities. So between now and November, my priority is to defeat these radicals that are in charge of the Democrat Party right now.
Every day I wear my Trump visor, and I have my Make America Great Again hat, and I know I have a responsibility to be kind to people. I approach older people in the parking lot at grocery stores and help them load their groceries. And, you know, I try to smile, and I am. I'm a very big Trump supporter. I mean, like, I don't like his arrogance, and I don't like his pomposity, but he's a damn good president.
Well, there's no doubt about that. His performance speaks for itself, record-setting in a host of ways. And I've really come to find affection for the way he manipulates and utilizes his power, his presence, his humor, and his ability to just simply attack, slice and dice, and drag the left around by their nose hairs. I just decided to sit back and enjoy it. And one theme that's been on a lot of the radio that I've done over the last few weeks is, as angry as the left is, as desperate and as on the attack as they are, we need to really set the standard as the happy warriors. We should be celebrating a time when wages are going up and we're fully employed, more jobs than there are people to do them. We're secure, our military is being better paid, and just so many good things that are happening. And we should be celebrating that. And last question, and then we've got to take a break. Paul, when you're out wearing your Trump visor or whatever, what's the reaction that you get around town? And where? What areas are you in usually?
I'm up by Crown Hill, about 20th and Kipling. I ride my bike every day, 6 hours a day. I go up to the lake there and sit down on a bench, and people come around, you know, with their dogs and everything. And I'd say 95% of the people smile at me.
Yep.
Some people hold their thumb up. Some people look down, but not many. And a friend that I had made at the lake, he said that it was just a pity that I wore a hat like that, because he was definitely a criminal, our president. So I've been surprised. I've been taken aback. It's quite something to wear an article of clothing, and you become an object of notice.
Yeah.
And I'm really not a person to want to be noticed.
Well, I'm glad that you're out there wearing that. We got to stop it there, Paul. I really do appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're out there wearing the hat. It's so very important to let other people know who are closet Trump supporters, Whether you like the personality or not, just look at the results. But know that you're not alone. I tell this story all the time, but when I'm flying around in the country in my Trump hat, TSA, airline pilots, sitting, I always sit on the aisle so I can gauge the reaction of people as they walk in. Same thing like Paul. People wink a little bit or nod a little bit, little thumbs up. Never had a bad or cross or negative comment. The people that don't like it, they just kind of look away. They don't want to get involved. But there are a lot of us out there, and we need to be ready, geared up, toughened, steeled against the assaults that are going to be coming our way in 2020. Because if you think this tail end of 2019 was bad when it comes to the fights between right and left, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. All right, we do got to take that break at 5:43. Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyles. Stay with us. More calls. And I want to play a great clip from our friend Jenna Ellis, legal advisor to the president on the other side. She's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. And you just got to see how masterfully she handles a gotcha moment on CNN. You'll enjoy it. So stay there. Peter Boyles, 710.
CBS News Update. The Christmas Eve celebration is already underway in Bethlehem. Midnight Mass will be celebrated in the Church of the Nativity. Here in the U.S., almost 116 million Americans will travel this holiday season, the most on record, according to AAA. CBS correspondent Mola Lenghi is at Newark Airport.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
Now, back to the Peter Boyles Show.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
Happy Christmas Eve to you and your loved ones. Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyle. So good to have you along this morning. And I just really haven't heard much Christmas music. I guess I haven't been in the malls. I'm not watching much TV. I don't know where people are getting it. I can just remember in years past, you know, by the day before Thanksgiving, I was already starting to get tired of all the Christmas music. So it's nice for me anyway today. Thanks, Kelly, for all of that. To get into the season. It's been a crazy couple of weeks for me, so I'm not there yet, but we are looking forward to getting the family together. The brand new grandson had his first birthday a few days ago, and all of it is so very good. I had promised to play you that clip from Jen Ellis, but I'm just not going to have time. She's going to join us at 7 o'clock. We will play it. She also wrote an excellent response to the Christianity Today article that called for the impeachment of Donald J. Trump. And so we'll dig into all of that with her. At breaking news, this is from 9news.com. Suspect in a fatal hit and run had been deported 6 times, according to ICE. We're going to be joined by Trevor Loudon on the other side of this hour, but I want to dig down into this because in the same day, this 6-time repeat offender kills a woman, kills a grandmother, just hours after being released from a DUI in a combative state, according to this 9 News article. And yet, front page headline of the Denver Post yesterday, lawmaker wants to end use of illegal alien term because it's so offensive, because there are no illegal people. I mean, give me a break. I don't understand how anybody who's not a radical left-wing Democrat can tolerate this anymore, allowing the focus to be on the word, the accurate word. Someone who is not a citizen is an alien. Someone who is here in violation of the law is an illegal alien. And now another one has killed another person, this time a grandma, 6-timer. ICE has some interesting things to say about that. So I'm glad this is a long show. We got a lot to do. But when we come back at 6 o'clock, we will be talking to my good buddy Trevor Loudon. He is coming to town next month, and he's always got a lot to say. So don't you dare go anywhere. It's the Peter Boyles Show. I'm Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.